Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about conflicts. Unfortunately, conflicts are a part of our life. We'd like to learn how to better use them in order for them to bring our life to a better place. Nitza, please. Yeah, on our previous show, at least from what I understood about conflicts, is that it's really the beginning of the feeling of life, that only in conflicts do we undergo a developmental process. Without conflicts, we have zero chances of developing, and it changes my perspective as to conflicts altogether, and that they all grow from nature. Nature sends us conflicts. And actually, none of us begins conflict. That's interesting, meaning there is a certain force in nature that on purpose sends me conflicts. Furthermore, pushes us against each other, really pushing us towards each other, getting us into confrontations. Yeah, really incites us in a very cunning way. That is the evil inclination which exists in our nature. This is what gets us into confrontations? Yes, all the time. That's the living force in nature, that like a developing disease inside a person, that sometimes we have a virus. So we feel that something's going on, something's happening inside of me, that there's some kind of an evil foreign force. That's how it works. So that's how it penetrates, in a cunning way, not only into me, but also in the other person. And suddenly we feel, yeah, many times it comes between us and the people we love, in the most cunning way. It brings us to unpleasant frictions and so on. And, okay, when it happens, intellectually, we somehow understand that, okay, this is the situation, if you know how to use it. And really, aside from the wisdom of Kabbalah, I'm sorry to tell you, you being a psychologist and everything, that aside from the wisdom of Kabbalah, I see no other method that can work with it, get along with it, and correctly use the conflicts and turn them into something positive, beneficial, which develops and completes. I really agree, and this is the reason why I brought this subject up on this show, because I really see that all the existing methods, they do something else. I'll give you an example. For instance, there are approaches that talk about mediation. Two people that do want to finish something in a good way, they don't want to fight. They have the willingness to achieve some kind of compromise or kind of a connection, let's call it. But in practice, this additional thing doesn't happen. Eventually, they reach some kind of a compromise. Someone concedes a bit, the other concedes a bit, they reach some kind of a compromise. The main thing is not to reach a crisis. Meaning it's not mediation, but what's the right word for it? It's called to settle disputes. We as if settle it, we let it settle down as if we smoothen it. But not that there is a kind of a mediation, a bridge here, or any kind of connection, but we simply take off the sharp edges so that people won't get that close to an outburst. Yeah, and the feeling that two people come out of this process with is, okay, the main thing is that there was no war. No one's content, no one. But at least they're not fighting each other, so this is a kind of a process. Now, there's a different process, but this process is not a solution. Yeah, it's not really a solution, I understand that. It's not a solution. What next? This is what I'm asking. From what I see, what we want to do is to solve the situation. But actually, we can't solve it. We can't even come closer to each other. And I'm asking, furthermore, how can we near two opposite things that were created this way by nature, two creatures? We can't. There's no solution. No solution. Humanity is searching for these solutions all throughout its history without finding one. We see that either it ends with war, crisis, meaning either it explodes and that's it, or people distance from each other, mediation, or one side surrenders, moves aside, and so on. So here I want to understand, how do we build this new thing, this bridge you're talking about, through conflict? Why is it so important for you? Because I think that we've reached such a development where it's no longer possible to sweep it under the carpet. That's for sure. The situation is so bad on all levels that the solution is either war or, I don't know, disintegration. And we see it on all levels. And therefore, it's very necessary. Right. So therefore, comes the wisdom of Kabbalah, specifically in this state, where humanity came to the recognition, like you say, that we have no other choice, that in all aspects of life, we're so opposed to each other, that we're ready to eat each other up. We can't get along with our children, our spouses, with ourselves, not mentioning countries and parties and so on. Meaning, we have reached a state where all of the forms of connection which previously existed, that we agreed with, and somehow we lived in them. In the past, there was family and children, the parents, the children, grandparents, and everyone lived together in some kind of connection. There was also a different kind of connection between people, like between, suppose, the people of a certain village that are somehow close to each other, and so on and so forth. But we have reached a state where our ego has developed more and more. Today, we can't stand any of our neighbors. Also, we can't stand our family members. I at least need a separate room and for no one to go in there. This is what the kids yell when the parent goes into his room. And not even mentioning, not families, but nations, and in general, meaning the distance between us is vast, inner distance. And it also demands of us isolation, for us not to touch each other. Therefore, we're creating many tools that will help each of us exist without being needy of the other. But still, we're reaching a state where all of humanity falls into depression. Everyone lives separately. A person lives inside himself. And here, with these three methods you mentioned previously, we have to search for a fourth method. What has to be clear to us? That the oppositeness between us, we will never be able to erase. We'll never be able to ever get rid of it, eradicate it, ever. That's one thing. The other thing is that we won't be able to live together with this oppositeness that's appearing between us. It brings us to a ceaseless conflict that we can't stand, up to the point of better die than keep on living this way. So either you get divorced if it's a family, or you distance as much as possible, or you finish with life altogether, or you go into drugs, but it's all a result of a lack of solution. We have just one thing left. If we can't do anything about the conflict, about our oppositeness, we have to know how, along with it, we can go into some kind of contact. Is it possible? So, humanly, we give a different solutions, but it doesn't hold. All the culture and education and everything that we build for everyone to have a small apartment and all the devices in his apartment so he won't be needy of another, and the internet and everything, eventually, it doesn't help. We see that nonetheless, people are in a state where they feel that there's a need to solve this situation where everyone feels that he is in conflict with the others. And here we come to the revelation of the wisdom of Kabbalah. And what does it say? What is its solution? Its solution is very realistic. It says everyone is in their own ego, in the will to receive delight and pleasure in its special, particular way. These individualists that live on earth can never get along with each other, and with each and every passing day, they'll find themselves in greater contradiction towards each other. But what you can do, and life necessitates us to do it, and actually all of nature is pushing us towards that, and it won't calm down until we will find the method of how to connect between us despite this oppositeness that doesn't stop. So what does the method say? The method says that we have to find connections above the oppositeness, the contradiction. How? That's a problem. We know that. What's the solution? No. The problem isn't only... The problem is to reach a state where it's possible. Because if you talk to a person on the street, he'll say, I don't see this happening. I don't think it's possible. But you are saying that it's possible, and not only possible, it's necessary. I'm saying that it's necessary from nature's point of view, and that it's possible. But even to explain that such an ability exists in reality, that's hard for me. Because how could it be that I hate someone, and along with it, I love him? That's the big question. Yeah? It's like a double tension that we need here. If I simply hate him, then somehow I can hold that. But along with it, how can I love him? It's two counter inclinations. What do you do? Therefore, it's very hard to explain. And here, we're actually coming to the state of the revelation of the positive force of nature, that besides our ego, which is the only thing that exists in nature, there's also the positive force. Aside from the negative force, the rejecting force, there's also the attracting force, the force of connection. It exists in nature, only we have to discover it, bring it closer to ourselves, and start using it. And in order to use it, we have to get organized in a special way in order to start revealing it. It's hidden, but if I arrange myself somewhat correctly towards connection, suppose with a few more people, then by connecting between us, by that we create some kind of an instrument by which I discover this positive force that exists in nature. Again, we're people that to begin with are opposite to each other. Despite that, we try to connect with each other in intention, with the purpose of discovering the force of connection that exists in nature, which is opposite to our ego. And this force which we discover, it connects us, It connects those people that made this kind of a treaty between them in order to find this connecting force. It connects us. And then we exist in two forces. It doesn't annul the first force, because the first force is under its control. And above that, there is the other force, the positive force. These two forces are opposite to each other. They're opposed tremendously to one another. And then what we discover is that there is a third force that determines between the two and connects them. So, suppose I depict this as two people going to a mediator, and by doing what you just said, it's as if they've turned to some force which is the mediator, the connector. Yes. So if you can explain this a bit, how do we actually, there are certain conditions that we have to keep, and then the, let's call it the mediating force of nature, it makes the connection in the conflict. This force which appears, it appears as a force that connects us, but it's not enough to connect us, because the negative force remains. In addition to the positive force, it also has to build a special line out of the positive and negative, called the middle line. It's a special kind of connection. It's something that we can't imagine right now, but this is what we have to come to. There's no other solution to life. I want to understand the technology of how two opposite, I don't know, people, suppose Nitsa and I, were in conflict. You said that we have to invite a third force that can mediate between us. What's the technology? How do we draw it? We have to conclude on it, that we want to draw this additional force? Yes. That we decide on it, that's enough? Yes. But no, it's not just to decide on it. You have to operate a special system, activate it. So I'm asking about the technology for the mediation. No other solution but to come to us. Great, we just came to you. We're asking, what is the technology of mediation Kabbalah has to offer? To go into a group that are learning how to do it. Great. I have a private lesson with you. I'm asking, what is that special technology that only Kabbalah has, that no other method has, that's based on the two opposite sides? Draw a third positive force that will come and connect them. Now I want to go into details. What's the technology? The technology is that you come to us. You become included in a group. Not necessarily that you have to be with that person that you're in conflict with in the same group. Not necessarily. Because all in all, you're taught a method. And then in that group, everyone towards the others, the members of that group, the participants, that he doesn't even know, doesn't matter. But everyone gets some kind of a let's call it exercise. What kind? Everyone has to now think that he is less than everyone else. And he's ready to serve everyone according to their desire. To diminish himself. How much? To the point where he is really like a zero towards everyone else. What does it mean, zero? It's not that he's worthless, like it sounds. But he actually has the forces and the ability to serve everyone. Like, suppose, a big, wise, strong mother who is able and capable is taking care of babies, Small question. You heard what I said? Yes, I did. Like a mother taking care of her babies, diminishing herself in order to serve them. Meaning that I diminish myself, it's not that I turn myself into a zero. No, I make myself like a loving mother towards her children. Yes. Okay, now a question. This group is like a laboratory to develop new connections between people. Yes, okay. How is that, now that you'll teach me, and we'll advance to maybe another exercise in a moment, the different interactions between the people in that group that want to learn how to develop themselves, what does it have to do with the conflict I have with my spouse or in any other place? You'll learn there how to do it in any other place. What I'll learn in these interactions, you're learning the method. Afterwards, you can implement it anywhere. These will be the very same exercises that I will implement with my partner, suppose, in another conflict, with everyone. So the first exercise was that everyone has to think that he is smaller than everyone and he's trying to do good to them as much as he can. Yes. What does it bring us to? That he's the smallest. And also that he's the greatest of all, because he specifically has the ability to provide the others with what they need. So I'm practicing two opposite interactions towards them. Right. And also towards others. Wait a second. What do I do when I'm small and what do I do when I'm great? What's the essence? Can you scrutinize this thought? What does it mean to think that I'm small towards others? That you are capable and willing and have the ability to realize everything that the other wants. You're his servant. And what does it mean to be great towards him? This actually also exists in the first condition, where you're ready to bestow onto them, cover them, bring them everything they need, everything that you can possibly do. It's interesting because the solution that you're giving now, this exercise, there's already a contradiction inside it. Right? This is what we teach. This is what we learn ourselves. How do I relate to others in a dual way? But what's dual here? To serve them and do good to them, isn't it the same? But for this, you have to diminish yourself and to make yourself great towards them. I diminish myself towards their desires. I raise myself above them where I can do for them what they can't do for themselves. Why do I have to diminish myself? You'll see this later. So again, why is it dual? It seems like one kind of attitude that I'm trying to benefit them. Doesn't matter. Look at it as one thing. Okay. Now, along with being less than everyone else and being greater than everyone else, I also depict everyone being equal, including myself, meaning above everyone, below everyone, and equal with everyone. So you gave the oppositeness and something in the middle. By this, I build those three lines we talked about, only I build them inside of me, from my perspective. When we all start doing this training, and we want to be connected this way together, we reach a state where everyone is thinking about how do we strengthen each other in this kind of approach so that all of our group will turn into one. One desire, one goal, one attitude, one feeling, that there's no difference between us. So much, you have to exert yourself in it, that each loses the feeling of the self and feels the connection, the collective, the center of the group, where all of our thoughts and hearts are. So, if I understand correctly, in the circle, you're teaching me, you're training me to be in these three positions, above, below, and in the middle. As if now we're going to connect between us ideally. The problem is that if we'll stop there, it won't help us. We'll return to be in a crisis like before, maybe even a greater one, and so on. So what do we add? That all of us, all of the members of the circle, are really expecting that through our connection in the center of the circle, a special force from the depth of nature will be revealed, which is the force of connection. And it will connect us. This force is called the upper light, or the creator, or it doesn't matter how you call it. Meaning it's the other force, as opposed to the force that we were born with and that the entire world exists in, the egoistic force. Then here, the other force is revealed, the altruistic force, that doesn't exist in our world, but only if there is such a group that can discover this force. And when these two forces are starting to reveal in that group, then they also reach something mutual between them, where they don't contradict one another. They don't erase each other. They're not in war, but there is a third force that appears here, which is actually the upper force, or the creator, meaning aside from the positive force, another third force is revealed, and it brings us to a new degree of existence where love covers for all crimes, that then we understand that the entire conflict is for the sake of the attainment of the upper dimension in our lifetime. That mediating force. Yes. That's the purpose of the conflict. Yes. To begin with, our entire world was created this way, and now we're coming to the revelation of what is the purpose for which the negative force was created for. Our time's up, but I have to ask, can we talk about this again? Because I have many more questions. The problem is to find the words in order to express it. I hope that together, somehow, we'll be able to bring it closer to people. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitsa. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.